I'm not sure whether to urge patience or whether to encourage a heart that is open, but I'll give you the heads up. We'll be singing that hymn again and again and again, or at least parts of it, for the next several weeks as we go through this message. And in particular, today, I want to grab just that last little phrase from that last verse that we sang, because thy promise, I believe. There could be a lot of motivations why we come to God. We might kind of come like God's our spiritual 911. Okay, the stuff's really hit the fan. I'm in trouble now. I can't solve this. I've been trying to manage and handle it all on my own for days or weeks or months or years, but finally I can't. We kind of come when it's all just a mess. Sometimes we come make those desperation prayers. I remember making one of those at the seminary. I was pretty sure I wasn't going to pass my first Hebrew exam. And so as I was going through that, I was like, oh, Lord, please, 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 if there's any way you can help me, you know, get through this exam, I'll do anything. That night, I came down with appendicitis. God, in his mercy, now it would seem like that was a really bad thing, but what that meant was I got 4 extra days to recover after my surgery, and in that amount of time, I learned that Hebrew better than I'd ever known it, and I actually did manage to pass. God be praised. Oh, how he answers our prayers. But I wonder if we could, instead of making God sort of our last resort, our last step, I wonder what would change for us. We made God our first stop, our first step. And so this hymn, I hope, inspires us to think about that. I'm not going to come with all my stuff put together. I'm not going to come, you know, try to do this or compare myself to others like we have our Pharisee doing in the gospel reading. God, I'm just going to come to you as I am. And to be very honest, friends, I think it would be wise for us to realize that's just how God wants us to come. Not putting on a mask, not putting on airs, not comparing ourselves to somebody else, but coming in need. Here's how Jesus put it once. He said, the healthy don't need a doctor. They're okay. They don't need to come. But the ones who know that they need what God gives, the help, the hope, the strength, the grace, those are the ones who know they need God. And those, I hope, include us, that we come humbly to him. Now, maybe one other way to say this is that God values humility. God responds to humility. When Martha comes out and she's comes out of her kitchen with her little flower on her face, and she kind of comes out with this, sort of a humph, and she comes out there and goes, Lord, tell my sister to come in the kitchen and help me with this meal. Jesus responds with a little teaching for her. After Mary and Martha's brother dies, and Martha comes out, maybe not quite so much with a humph and hands on her hips, but she does come out with saying this, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but I know even now, if you ask, he will give you what you ask for. When her sister comes and says the same first phrase, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but she says it after she's fallen humbly at his feet. Jesus, who gave a resurrection sermon to Martha, now gives a resurrection miracle to Mary. And hear the whisper from the Holy Spirit to your heart. God saying, I value and I respond to your humility. Now, I know out in the workplace, humility isn't always the best thing. In fact, you know, the person, I heard about an employee who won an award as the most humble employee of the year, but then when he wore that medal around his neck the next day, he was fired. So the world doesn't think like that. It doesn't quite see that humility is something to value. But Jesus is very, very, very different. He does value that. He tells this parable. And notice the introduction to it. He's been speaking other parables to the crowds. He's been speaking other parables to his disciples. But he speaks this parable, who? To those who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else. I don't really need God because I'm already righteous. And look at these poor people over here who do. Oh. You can just picture the Pharisee doing that. You can picture him with his chest puffed up and going, hey, God, nothing to see here. I'm good. I mean, you know, you compare me to him or him or him or her. Whew, I'm fine. When you and I want to try to distract God from the mess that's on the inside by comparing ourselves to others, that door of grace just gets closed, because in actuality, we're the ones who closed it. We haven't come humbly. We haven't come with a need for grace if we come confident of our own righteousness. But God values and responds to that humility. You see Jesus saying that the humble man, the one who beat his breast, the one who wouldn't even look up to heaven, the one who could just say, all he could do is say over and over, I'm a sinner, God, have mercy. That one went home with what he was really seeking. Now, you and I have a lot of things we can trust in this world. We can type in our phones or our computers and order food, and we trust they'll deliver it to us the same day or the next day. We can order things from our little online stores and trust that. We can type in, do searches in Google or other search engines. I can go, give me this or give me that. But when we come humbly to God, it's amazing the answers. It's amazing the insight. It's amazing the comfort that we actually get and we find. The comfort and the strength that was there. You know, Adam and Eve, such an interesting thing. We'll talk about this more in Bible class. But Adam and Eve were made in God's image. They had everything. They were perfect. It was wonderful. But when they who were made in God's image were instead tempted to become like God, which was a lie. How can you get more like God than already being in his image? Because now you get to make the decisions. Now you get to call the shots. Now you don't have to depend on God because you're going to be just like him, equal to him. When they believed that lie, they lost the strength and the safety that came from being in his image, in a loving relationship with him. They lost that, and now they're hiding. Now they're blaming each other. Now they're trying to cover up instead of seek forgiveness. Never once do they apologize. Never once do they say, God, please forgive me. But God responds to that humility when it is in you and me. James put it in today's gospel, submit yourself to God. He gives that grace to the humble. Submit yourself to him and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. The next time a temptation comes to us, we can say, no thanks, Satan. I saw what it did when you got prideful. I saw what happened when you tempted Adam and Eve. I'm not giving into it anymore. And he'll flee when we depend on the Lord, when we humbly submit ourselves to him. Coming near to God means saying, I don't have it all figured out. I need to learn. Wasn't that Jesus' invitation? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened from trying to do this world on your own strength, from trying to make your own way, from trying somehow to get out from under the burdens of sin and shame. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. For I, the Lord Jesus said, am humble of heart. And I will teach you. Learn from me. I'll give you rest for your souls. Doesn't it make sense that the one who was willing to come humbly to us in poverty in a manger, the one who was willing to live in humility and even humble himself even unto death on the cross and suffer for us, doesn't it make sense if he came humbly riding on that donkey that we would come humbly to him? Come humbly to him with every need, with every fear, with every success and celebration. Come humbly to him to be washed and purified and not go, oh, well, the world says this, and God, but God says that. The double-mindedness gets set aside. And we receive the grace that he offers to us. It's really fascinating thought and idea of how much he would love us in that way to forgive those who would come humbly, forgetting the comparisons, forgetting the Pharisee in his case is so righteous, he's exceeding the law that he doesn't just fast one day a week, which is what the Old Testament law in Leviticus called for. He's doing it twice a week. He isn't just tithing his normal income, but he's even tithing the extra income that he makes. And that's, again, beyond what Leviticus says. I'm above and beyond, God. I'm doing good. But the humble of us says, Lord, I need you. Every day. David says to it at the end of Psalm 139, that wonderful psalm when he's talking about, Lord, there's no place I can go, no height that I could go to, you wouldn't be there, no depth of difficulty that you wouldn't be there. At the end of that wonderful celebration of realizing how marvelous God's goodness is, he says, Lord, show me any offensive way in me. Show me everything and anything inside of me that is still not lined up with you, and lead me in the way that is everlasting. Lord, I know there's still sins in there. And in a room full of folks who've been walking with Jesus for a long time, even in a pastor standing in a pulpit, there's still sin in there. There's still struggles. There's still fears. There's still times when we pull back to old behaviors that used to work for us. But God says instead, come, I'll show you. I'll show you that fear is a sign of just how much you still need me. I'll show you that question in your mind of whether I'm really there for you has its answer in this scripture and in this demonstration in your life. Come close to me, and I'll cleanse you. That's his invitation. You know, when Jesus closes that parable, he does so with some rather sobering words. I don't want to emphasize them too long because I think they speak well enough for themselves. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled. The word there is like the asphalt on the new road that's being pressed down, cut down, leveled. Jesus is saying it pretty simply. If you lift yourself up, prepare to get knocked down off that pedestal. Prepare to get humbled. And hear it in a sense that is a loving God who says that to you. Because if he lets us stay exalted, if he lets us walk in our pride and say we don't need him, then that means he's going to let us head off to an eternity where we don't need him either. And he loves us enough to give us that free choice. But I think most of us would say, thank you, God, that you love me enough to humble me now and again when I need it, so that I will come back to seeking you. I may have been in this church longer than anyone else, someone might say. I may have been a charter member, someone else might say. I may have volunteered more hours than anyone else, someone else might say. I may have given more than anyone else has ever given, someone might say. But the one who would say, Jesus, I don't think there's anyone here that you have loved and forgiven more than you have forgiven me. Thank you. That one will go home with their heart filled, with their slate clean. You know, I will also expand on this story when I get to the Bible study. But Jesus tells another parable that you probably know too well about two sons. One who wasn't very humble, who said, Dad, I don't really need you anymore. Can I just have my share in the inheritance as if you were already dead? I want to go live my own life. Bye. And that brother, we know is the prodigal son, wanders off, squanders it all away. and then comes to his senses, humbles himself, and comes back and says, Father, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be called your child anymore. Could I be like one of your servants? Because you treat servants better than you treat anyone else. The Father in love restores him. The Father had been waiting. The Father went to the one who was humbling himself. But do you remember the older brother in that story? Hands across his chest. I'm not going in that house. I'm not going into that party. I'm not celebrating that brother, that son of yours who came back. And all that he did, all the wrong, all the sin. I'm not going to celebrate that. The Father had to go out to that hard-hearted older son. The Father had to remind that hard-hearted older son that whenever one turns back, one who is your brother, one who is your sister, one who is one of us, whenever one turns back, we have to celebrate because they were lost and now they're found. They came humbly and we in the orientation of love in our heart, will respond with grace. That's the heart of God. You and I can choose to say, well, I got saved once, I'm good. He needs to take care of all those other ones out there, all those other ones. I'm good. We can have our hands folded across our chest, or we can beat our breast like that humble tax collector who knew how much more grace he still needed. When we come seeking him, he doesn't have to come and humble us. Does that make sense? When we come knowing how much we need him, he doesn't have to remind us by using, because he loves us enough, as a father disciplines his children, he will humble us. He won't have to if we've already looked to the cross and seen the humble death that our Savior died for us and humbled ourselves and say, just as I am, I come. Your promise, I believe. I come. We come humbly, and God responds. May you and I be strengthened in that and find what it means for him to exalt us as we come humbly seeking him each and every day. Amen. Amen.